320. 320.
Morning. Genesis chapter 7, verse 4. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground. A couple days ago, I guess on Tuesday, a colleague of mine said, hey, you know, it's been raining a lot. Rain's been on everybody's mind. The water's coming up. Everybody's, what's the River Crescent at? You know, levees are cracking. We don't know if we're going to flood some land. They called me and said, hey, my parents' house is about to flood. Can you help us? So some of us went out here and we started sandbagging, and this wall built up about 5 feet. You can sort of see right here, water sort of coming up around. It's already flooded the garage. This is the backyard. This is on Tuesday, and that's a river back there. This is Metropolis right here, and here's a bunch of us out here helping, filling up sandbags and getting everything going. Now, how funny would that have been if there was no water out there and I got a phone call and somebody said, hey, we need you to sandbag the house because it's going to flood. And I would have said, well, there's no rain in the forecast. Why would we be doing that? I mean, that's nonsense. But that did happen. We had Noah. That happened to Noah. And sort of talk about what kind of person Noah was. What do we know about him? Well, he was a son of Lamech. So in Genesis chapter 5, over in verse 30, after he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. We also know that Noah had three sons. In verse 32, it said Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We know in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, if you want to turn over there, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. So we know from that Noah was one of the few that God found favoring at this time. We go over in verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So Noah found favor in God. And he was a preacher of righteousness. Turn over there to 2 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 5. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood and the world of the ungodly. So, we know who Noah is, so what about the rest of the people there during the time of the flood? Back over in Genesis, we find sort of the condition of man. And at that time, you know, not everybody was doing what they were supposed to. Over here in verse 5, that the Lord saw that the weakness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of thoughts and hearts was only evil continually. So everything they did day in and day out was evil. They didn't have anything that God had on their mind. Everything that they were doing was about them, about what purposed them, and what was good for them. Nothing about God. We know in chapter 11, Genesis chapter 6, verse 11, that the earth was corrupt. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupt their ways of the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark, gopher wood, make rooms of ark, and cover it inside and out with pitch. So we are told that at this time that he's going to build an ark. over in chapter 6, verse 6. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man and the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So that's a pretty strong statement there that God was sad that he made us, that he made man, that he had brought us into this world. I mean, that's a pretty deep thing to think about right there, that nobody except for Noah and his family were doing what they were supposed to be doing. So now we're going to talk about the ark. We know it was made from gopher wood. We don't know what gopher wood is. Some people speculate cypress, but we don't know. They only speculate cypress because it's a rot-resistant wood. But it could be pre-flood wood. We don't even know. We don't know what this stuff is. Covered inside and outside with pitch. That's sort of like a tar-like substance to sort of waterproof the ark and make it sustain the water. It was 300 cubits by 50 cubits by 30 cubits high. And we know that in Genesis 6, verses 15 and 16. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits in width, 50 cubits in height, and 30 by 30 cubits. And you shall make a window for the ark, and you'll finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark on its side. You shall make it with lower and second and third decks. This is sort of a comparison to what we've got here. That's the ark right here. This sort of, what's the thing I want to talk about right here? The cubit term is slightly from the elbow. So if you sort of measure from the elbow down to the tip of your finger, that's sort of what a cubit is. There's sort of some, varying a little bit here and there of what the actual feet and inches are. Of a cubit is, so that sort of is just not a whole lot. This has got it as 450 feet by 75 feet by 45. This picture actually shows a little over 500 just because of the what they're actually looking at is what a cubit is. But you sort of look at the, sort of the size like the Titanic right there, the Wyoming. That's supposedly the British built this ship, and it's the longest wooden ship. Except for the ark. And there's Santa Maria. This is a comparison. The Titanic, it took actually 3 years to build the Titanic. That's sort of more modern equipment we have. I'm sure thousands of people working on it. We don't know how many people worked on the ark. We don't know what kind of tools and equipment they used, but we knew it was built. So that sort of gives you an idea of what the undertaking is of this. It says the ark had a ratio length of 30 by 5 by 3. And according to shipbuilders, this radio represents a vast knowledge of shipbuilding since the optimum design of stability in rough seas. The ark, as designed by God, was virtually impossible to capsize. It would have been tilted over 90 degrees to capsize, which if you think about this, we know this was designed by God. We know that Noah didn't design this ship. Noah wasn't a shipbuilder. Noah wasn't a sailor. We don't even know if Noah even saw big bodies of water at that time. We don't know, and it's pretty amazing that something, that this advanced could have been built this early. Without God, this wouldn't have been done. I think they said that the Wyoming was if he sort of read the Bible and gone back there, his ship would have lasted a whole lot better than it did. We know that when the flood happened. It began when Noah was 600 years old. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights back, like we looked in chapter 7. The water covered the mountaintops to a depth of 15 cubits. And we don't know what the land size after this rain, but you can think of, some of our tallest mountains that we've got today and speculate, covering that with another 15 cubits up. That's pretty amazing. The water receded and the earth dried out in about 1 year, and we can look at Genesis 7 and 8 if you would like to look over and look at that. We'll go ahead and turn to Genesis 8. Starting in verse 21. And the Lord smelled the smoothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never... again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy everything that think that I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and the day and night shall not cease. We go over in 9, verse 11. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all my flesh be cut off by the waters of flood. Never again shall there be flood destroy the earth. So even though we've been out there, we know the waters are rising, we know right here that we're not going to be flooded again, because God made that promise that that's not going to happen. We live in a sinful world just as Noah has. And we have people that are not doing what they're supposed to be doing just in the time there. God, once again, he's going to punish us. Those who aren't faithful, he's going to punish those people. We can look in 2 Peter, if you will. Chapter 3, verse 3 through 7. Knowing the first time that scoffers will come into the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise he is coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, and the things that they and things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the world that then existed perished from the flood of water. But the heavens and earth are now preserved in the same word and reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. And just as if the people there didn't have any warning of the flood coming, we're not going to know when Jesus is going to come back to this earth. And we can look over in Matthew chapter 24. Starting in verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage until the days of Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So we know right there that just like those people back in Noah's day, it's going to be the same for us. We're not going to know when Jesus is going to return to this earth. We're not going to know how that's going to happen. Okay? You would turn over to 2 Peter again in chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 8. But beloved, do not forget that this one thing, that with the Lord one day is in a thousand years, and a thousand years one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should become repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, but the earth and the works that are with are burned up. So we know that this is going to happen. We've got several examples of thief in the night, just as if they were eating and drinking, being married, taking marriage at the floodwaters came. It can happen any time. But there's one way that you can help yourself, okay? Just as Noah's found inside of God, and God saved Noah and his family, there's a way for us to be saved. He gave his son. Jesus died on the cross for our sins so we can be saved, so when this time comes, that we can go to heaven. There are some steps that you have to follow, just like Noah did. Noah had to build the ark to the specifications. If Noah didn't build this ark the way that God had told him to build it, it probably wouldn't have floated. It wouldn't have done. If he hadn't taken the animals like he was supposed to have, it wouldn't have worked. Noah did everything to what God wanted him to do. Just like we're commanded to hear in Acts 15 and chapter 7. We're commanded to hear the gospel that's being preached to you. We're commanded to believe. We have examples of that in Mark 16, verse 16. We are supposed to repent of our sins. If we committed sin, whether it's done privately or publicly, it needs to be repented of. And we're supposed to confess that Christ is our Savior. You know that in Romans chapter 10. And we are to be baptized. Acts chapter 2. We're given an example of baptism. If this is something that applies to you, if you need to repent of your sins, come forward and be baptized. We have water ready for you to be baptized right here now. If there's anything that you need to come forward and ask for help, we're here for you as we come forward and stand while the song's being led.
When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether in new or light, faithful to him will he find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bride home? Say, waiting.